Boy, do we worship a God of miracles or what? You know, these times that we have in the feast, they are our memory times. And that one we had a couple of nights ago, you talk about some miracles that was in there. You know, that we, those that were there, how we were there. Man, those miracles are going to be stored in our priority memory bank. We're going to be reflecting on those for many years to come. And actually, I want to talk to you today about priorities. And what would you say are the real priorities in your life? While you're mulling that over, I think it's fitting that I should show you something, tell you something that is something special for this group. And I'm going to do some things that you've never seen before. I'm going to show you something that no man has ever seen before. No, I'm not going to stand on my head or anything like that. I'm not going to bring fire down. I won't even dance a jig. But here's something that I don't think anyone, well, I know, no one has seen since the beginning of time. And what do I have? You think this is a peanut, don't you? You know what? You're right. It's just a common peanut. And let's see if we can look deeper. I think I got it. Yeah, here we go. We got it. Look at that. Do you realize that you are the first human beings that ever set eyes on this? That it has lain hidden since its creation in that little envelope. You are the very first ones to see that. And you know, there it goes. Trying to get away from me. Now you have seen this. And you know something? No one will ever see this again. It's gone. Well, do you feel cheated? Do you feel that I kind of tricked you there a little bit? Well, don't be too disappointed. You see, what I really wanted to show you, I couldn't. I couldn't show you what I really wanted to because it's not here yet. It's something that we call tomorrow. Tomorrow. It's coming, but it's not here yet. It's very important. No one has ever seen it before. And it comes as a completely free gift. It is so valuable that it comes measured out to you in seconds. You know, there someone who didn't have anything better to do figured out that there are 86,400 seconds in every 24-hour period. And they come at your disposal, no charge. They are yours to do with as you determine, a small slice of eternity that your Creator has given you. Do with it as you want. He's given you free choice. Why is it given to you in such small bits of time? Could it be because he knew that you were going to fail? He knew that we'd all fail. And that's the thing that's good about it. Because by doing it that way, we have a new beginning every second. We can change. And we can improve. We learn from the mistakes we make and the things we suffer. It teaches us. I have to... That song we just sang, America the Beautiful. Did you notice that line in there that said, America, God refined the gold within you? You know, that's something. We're America. He's talking to us. He's refining the gold that is within us through all these things that the mistakes we make, the things we suffer, and so on. Did you realize you can actually change yourself physically? Physically. You can change yourself through your thought process. Now, you know, we've always heard this stuff about positive thinking and so on like that. There is a doctor by the name of Dr. Bruce Lipton. Now, this doctor is no ordinary doctor. He is a biomolecular scientist. You catch that? Molecular. Wow. I don't know what that is. A biomolecular scientist that he has proved through his work with quantum physics. I can even pronounce that. he's done that quantum physics and the cellular structure of our genes. Now, here's his quote. Retraining your thinking can change our bodies. Rethinking can change our bodies, unquote. Can change our bodies. Notice now, he didn't say perhaps, he said we can. That's a positive statement. And he's done it through molecular science. He's not alone. There's a lady named Adelie Lebrecht who has written a book. It says, How to Reprogram Your DNA for Optimum Health. And she writes, and I quote, On a subatomic level, everything in our lives, external and internal, is refreshed and renewed every trillionth of a second. Can you imagine that? Therefore, by the laws of quantum physics, every moment is literally a new beginning. Amazing. Amazing. Even science now verifies that positive thinking does work. But also, there's something else. Negative thinking does work also. So, you've got to be careful. But God has given us the choice. We can choose our thoughts. And when the negative thoughts come, we can kick them out. We don't need them. We don't need them. Just choose the positive side. And even the Bible, you know, tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Every second is a new beginning, an opportunity to improve, to try again, and it's, you can think of it actually like a new tomorrow is given to us in capsule form. Now, with all these new tomorrows given to us, let's get back to something here. With all these new tomorrows given to us, so often, why do we do this? We treat them like a bag of peanuts. There always seems to be plenty. There's always enough. It's a big bag. Look at that. There's a big bag here. So we tend to squander them here and there. And on the trivial, the superficial. We scatter our time everywhere, it seems. What a waste. What a waste. You know, wake up, people. Be careful with these seconds that are coming to us. So we want to kind of guard our time a little better. You know, Satan has so many ways to divert our attention from our priorities. So many ways. With the TV, the cell phones, the football games, and on and on and on, on it goes. You know, politics and everything. He wants us to look at something different, not on our priorities. So, why do we choose to live vicariously when we have been given the real thing? You know, especially, it's a limited time offer, folks. Wouldn't you think you would try to make every second count? Life is just too precious to waste on the mundane. What about yesterday? Do you ever expect to see it again? Yesterday has been spent. It's a canceled check. Did you get your money's worth? Like the peanut, it's gone forever. Tomorrow is a promissory note. And you know what? We have been offered a promissory note for eternal life. Be very concerned whose signature is at the bottom of that note, because there are many counterfeits. So check that signature very carefully, because only one person can guarantee that promissory note of eternal life. Priorities. Without thinking, we scatter our time willy-nilly. There's always tomorrow. You know, it goes on. We've got plenty. Or is there plenty? We're getting toast. Oh, we got a few here. Look at that. There was one. And let's see what else we got. You know, that's the thing, folks. That's the thing. At some point, there are no more peanuts left. Your bag is empty. And you think, oh, I knew it was going to happen sometime. Not now. It's too soon. All those things I was going to do, all those things I could have done, the person I could have been, but it's too late. It's over. Your bag of peanuts is empty. Teach us to number our days, urges the psalmist, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, he flourishes. But the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And the place where he stood shall know it no more. James reminds us that life is like a vapor that appears for just a little while and then vanishes away, just like the peanut. Well, consider the time of now, because it won't return. Take time take time to do the right thing at the right time before that time is lost, before it's passed. You know, you've heard it, tomorrow never comes. Actually, it does come. We just change the name. We call it today. Irma Birnbach, no, that's Birnbach. I get that switched. She says it quite pointedly in her article. I think it really hits home. There wasn't time. When I was young, Mama was going to read me a story, and I was going to turn the pages and pretend I could read. But she had to wax the bathroom floors, and there wasn't time. When I was young, Daddy was going to come to school and watch me in a school play. I was the fourth of the three blind mice. Well, you know, just in case one got sick. But he was having his car tuned, and there wasn't time. When I was young, Grandma and Granddad were going to come for my birthday to see the expression on my face when I got my first bike. But Grandma didn't know who she could get to feed the dogs. And Granddad, well, he didn't like the cold. And besides, they didn't have time. See if I can get this straight here. Oh, when I was older, Dad and I were going fishing one weekend. Just the two of us. And we were going to pitch a tent and fry fish with the heads on them. But at the last minute, he had to fertilize the garden. And there wasn't time. When I was older, the whole family was going to pose together for a family portrait. But my brother had ball practice. My sister had her hair up. Dad was watching the Colts. And Mom had to mop the kitchen. There wasn't time. When I grew up and left home to be married, I was going to sit down with Mom and Dad and tell them how much I loved them. How much I would miss them. But Hank, he was our best man. He was a real clown. He was honking the horn in front of the house, so there wasn't time. So, priorities again. Priorities. What's important to those who love you? Do you know? What's important to those you love? Do you know that? Have you ever walked through a graveyard and studied the names and the dates on those tombstones? You know, chiseled in stone will be a beginning and an end. You know, it could be something like 1902-1984. But you know what's really important about that? It's not the dates. You know that. It's not the beginning. It's not the end. What is in between? What is in between? That's what's important. Did they treat that dash like a bag of peanuts? Did they help others along the way, carry someone's load for a while? How did they treat the ones they loved? Did he encourage those who feel beaten down? You know, perhaps they lived a life patterned after those invited into the kingdom, as described in Matthew 25. You know, those folks, they didn't remember doing all those wonderful things for Jesus, feeding Him, clothing Him, visiting Him in prison and so on. But the king answered to them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto me of the..." "Done it unto me, one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." I didn't read that right. "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." Could it be that God's love expressed through compassion for others had already been chosen as one of their priorities, demonstrating their love for God by serving the least of those he loved, really getting to know the many interesting people they came in contact with? It's amazing. People have some interesting backgrounds, interesting people. Oh, but then there were those on his left hand. You remember that? You've read it. They were on his left hand. And he says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, and everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." One wonders how they had set their priorities during that dash between those dates. Did they examine the signature on the bottom of that note, that promissory note of eternal life? Did they bother to look at who signed that note? We've got to be careful with that. Make sure we're using the right one. And so, we read in Ecclesiastes 12:7, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity." You've probably figured out by now that actually I'm kind of having a conversation with God about myself. I've simply invited you to listen in. Maybe you can learn from my mistakes. Priorities. But, wait a minute. Isaiah tells us something. Isaiah. He's telling us something also that man has not seen since the beginning of time. He's telling us the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath a light shined. And then he goes on. He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You see, a miraculous conception has occurred. The Holy Spirit has been planted into the seed of man. And so it is that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. Our very Creator has come to redeem His own. Then there's another thing that's most amazing. Something else that man has not seen. Something that the ancients desired to know, but they didn't even know it. something else. We have experienced a miracle conception by receiving the Holy Spirit and thus have actually become a son of God. Actually, that conception of that Holy Spirit at the laying on of hands has conceived something very, very special. So special that many people would say, well, that's a born-again experience. No, you're selling it short. That's the conception. Now we're developing. And eventually, yes, we will be born. When Christ comes back, you'll be given the power. You realize that's the same time he received his power, was when he was resurrected. And he appeared before the throne of the Father. So that's another one. You know, think about it. You did not ask to be born. Neither are you an accident. You were conceived in the mind of God before the earth was formed. Predestined for the opportunity of eternal life. Read it. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. So when you're off by yourself, you read that and talk to God about those two scriptures. You were in his mind before the earth was formed. You're very, very special. He put that God, that gold in you then. And he's in the process of refining that gold that is already in you. And he wants to bring it forth in pure form. You have been given a free sample of life. But it's just a sample. What have you done with this sample so far? Important? Well, yeah. But the crucial thing is, what are you going to do with it, with the remainder? It's not what you have done. It's what you do from this second on. Those peanuts represented your allotted time. All your tomorrows are in that dash. The important part that lies between the beginning and the end. You know something that I can say here? That dash is still going on among you. You're not there. That final date has not been set yet. We're still in that period of that dash. You know what? That bag wasn't really empty. We've still got some time. So let's take advantage of that. Let's use that dash. We've got time yet. So don't waste a minute of it. Okay, let's see. Yeah, your final date has not been set yet. So set your priorities, put them in order, set them prayerfully. And remember, if things get tough, look up, for your redemption draws near. Brethren, keep up the good work. Keep up the good work. There is a better tomorrow coming. Priorities.